After all that, I'm sure that most of you all are at Exodus 20, and I'm going to read it. Exodus 20, verse 12. We are on the fifth commandment this week. The fifth command. Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Heavenly Father, what a privilege it is to call you Father, knowing, Lord, that you look down and see us as your children in Christ. Please give us encouragement during our time together in your word this morning. Strengthen our hearts, Lord, to honor our mother and father. And Lord, also to honor you by doing it. We love you and thank you, God, that you have chosen to speak to your people in this book. Speak to our hearts now. Move with your spirit in this place. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus was teaching one day, and a Pharisee lawyer approached him and asked him what the great commandment was. And many of you all know it by heart. It was, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And he says, and the second one is like it. He said, love your neighbor as yourself. And in this summarizes the entire law, which includes the Ten Commandments. And so the first four commandments that we spent our time on over the last several weeks was about honoring God, loving God. And God tells us how we are to do that. Well, today we transition into the second six, or the last six, and they are telling us how we are to love our neighbors as ourselves. And the first one is this, that we're to honor our father and our mother. There are some challenges with this today, and I think that has been the case in every generation. Let me read to you something that one wise man said. He said, youth today have luxury. They have bad manners, contempt for authority, no respect for older people, and talk nonsense when they should work. Young people do not stand up any longer when adults enter the room. They contradict their parents, talk too much in company, and tyrannize their elders. And maybe you didn't do it out loud, but if you gave a hearty amen on the inside to what this man says, you would be in agreement with Socrates, who said this 2,500 years ago. I believe that evidence for what he saw in his day is still around us in ours. I think you might be in agreement with that. But I do believe what we can learn from a statement like this is from a biblical perspective, from what the Bible teaches us about sin, is that the human heart has always wanted to reject authority, always. And the place where this starts is in the cradle, from the very beginning. Little Johnny seems so cute when he tells his mom no when he first learns to talk. Everybody says, come, look at little Johnny. Look at when he does the no thing again. Everybody watch. He's so funny, right? And some years later, though, nobody's laughing anymore when Johnny's all grown up. I want to read you a list from the New Testament. And maybe you can remember playing a game. It's one of those games like, can you see what doesn't belong with the rest of these? I don't remember what it's called, but maybe you get what I'm talking about. Something doesn't belong with the others. And in this list, the Apostle Paul is describing the worst of sins. So I ask you, which one doesn't seem to belong with the others? He says, they were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Now, on a day when the topic is not honoring your mother and father, maybe you would be listening to that and hear, disobedient to parents? That doesn't fit. Not with murder and maliciousness and inventors of evil. That does not fit with all of the rest of these. or does it? Because in these commandments that we are going through next week, we will deal with murder. But this is one of the Ten Commandments, which tells us that God views disobedience to authority in a very serious way. That God is not laughing at little Johnny's rebellion. He knows there is a terrible evil in him that is so difficult to root out of his heart, an evil that Jesus came to die for. My wife and I were in a grocery store about a week ago, and this child was being pushed around the store in this cart, and he was screaming his lungs out. And mom and dad were following behind him like this was the most normal thing in the world. Everybody else in the store had to listen to this child scream. The sinful desire that is in that little heart would grow to be complete anarchy and societal chaos if it could see its way all the way through. It would. So the fifth commandment starts with honoring your father and your mother, but it's larger than that. It plays its way out in the culture that we live in. We see it all around us. It's submitting to any authority, or the desire not to submit to any authority that God gives for the good of his people, whether that's in your home, at your workplace, in your church, or your government. It's giving honor where honor is due. And God tells us that the place where this begins is in the home with moms and with dads. So let's start there. First point we've already mentioned this morning, but for your outline in front of you, it's honor your father and mother. Honor your father and mother. And so honor begins with a father and a mother in the home. And even this challenges the spirit of the age, doesn't it? There's a father and a mother in a home. Every child is called to this, to honor them. But what does it mean to honor your parents? What does it mean? The word that we translate to honor means weighty. It means something that is heavy. I think we all understand what it means to take something lightly, don't we? Because things that we don't take lightly, we don't take seriously. Nobody wants to be taken lightly. Only weighty things are worth your time and attention. And God is telling us here, this is what parents are supposed to be, not taking lightly or dismissed. Children are to take their parents and what they say seriously. As a father of young kids, I can't help but notice how moms and dads are portrayed in children's shows. Maybe you've seen some of those. They certainly aren't figures to be admired or respected or listened to. They're bumbling idiots that nobody in their right minds would listen to, right? They're obstacles in the plot. There's something to get around. Parents are always messing things up. The children have all the wisdom. And I understand it's all in good fun, right? So that kids will watch. But do you think any of that actually ever seeps in over time? My parents just don't understand. In the coming of age, teenage books and the movies, parents are still obstacles. They restrict these teenage heroes from finding themselves. They restrict them from love and fun and anything else that's good in the world. Parents are joy-killing dummies who can't relate to the trials of being a young person. They're out of touch, could never understand what it means to be young and to be free. But hasn't every parent at one time or another had that same desire to want to be free? To want to be free from authority, nobody telling me what to do. I think I can remember a day when that was my heart too. And maybe you can as well. And maybe now as a parent, you wish that somebody was there at that time, whatever that time is, that one time when you wish that somebody would have come along beside you and said, no, don't do that, that's stupid. But from a network TV perspective, the wise, loving, helpful parent does not sell That doesn't sell. It doesn't sell airtime. Youth sells. And parents are taken lightly. Children learn to give little weight to their parents. And I think that over time, parents start to take themselves lightly too. Like, man, it's just too hard. And being a parent is hard work, isn't it? Several months ago, we gave out some copies of a 16th century catechism that's still used today. And there's such good teaching in there even 500 years later. And there's a reason why it's still around. It's because it's old and it has wisdom. Wisdom in there. And listen to what it says about the fifth command. It says, what does God require in the fifth commandment? What's required is that I show all honor, love, and faithfulness to my father and mother, and to all those in authority over me. Submit myself with due obedience to their good instruction and discipline, and also have patience with their weaknesses and shortcomings, since it is God's will to govern us by their hands. Such good stuff in there. That parents are meant to be a gift to their children, to give instruction and discipline in the home for their good. Parents are meant to be a gift. And that God governs these children, oversees, he guides them, he loves them through their parents. Through their parents. And proper submission to God comes by submitting to them. And I think my favorite part of that particular answer there in the catechism is that part of the child's honor, love, and faithfulness to their parents is by how they bear with or have patience with the parents' shortcomings, with the parents' weaknesses. Because I think that every parent is aware that they don't know everything. They don't know a lot of things. We're all aware of that, that we make mistakes. And guess what? The children at some point come to realize that we make mistakes too. Sometimes way too early. One of these days, the littlest in my home is going to realize that I'm not Superman. Right now, at least I think that she believes that I can see through walls and floors and see everything that she does. I'm a pretty good guesser. I kind of know what she's doing a lot of times. She's going to realize too someday that my discipline is too severe at times. Or that I made a selfish choice. That I'm a sinner who needs the grace of Jesus just like she does. And that's not something that I need to hide from her. It's something that I have to model to her. Not only am I called to have patience with my children's weaknesses and shortcomings, they're to learn to be patient with mine. That we're both sinners under God, needing his mercy. And though we have different roles in the home, and we do, we're both called to live under his authority. And God's authority is perfect. Mine is not. But even though I'm not perfect, my children are called to live in submission to me and to my wife. This honors God as they honor their father and their mother. And here's a broader truth that's here in this commandment, but it's in seed form. And it's that authority is given by God for the good of his people. Authority is given by God for the good of his people, but also for society at large, for the bigger picture. That authority is good. They're all supposed to be gifts from God, not a curse. But the sinful tendency inside of us is to see authority as an evil thing. Because we always chafe against it, even from the earliest age. We've also seen it abused, haven't we? Which leads us to be suspicious of anybody that is in authority over us. But there was authority before sin came into the world. Adam was called to lead Eve, and it was supposed to be a gift to her, a blessing to her. And so authority is given to serve people, not to dominate them. Not as Jesus said about the Gentiles, how they will lord over them. Their rulers will. That's how their leaders operate, is to lord over them. But the way of Christ is to be a servant. So authority figures are there to serve the people for their good. And that's what a parent is supposed to be in the home, a servant for their children. Parents are God's agents in the home to serve, build up, restrain sin, guide to righteousness, to model the love and grace of God. They're servant leaders who sacrifice daily for the good of their children. And where do they learn this primarily? From their Savior. They're there to model the gospel to their children. And when they fail to serve and lead as they should, they're called to model the gospel in that too. Like sometimes we as parents, we're afraid to admit our weaknesses or to admit our failures to our kids because we think maybe they'll start getting the upper hand on us in some way. But one of the greatest opportunities for a parent to teach their child about the grace of God is when they ask for that child's forgiveness when they fail, when they sin. It shows that a dad needs a Savior too. And I believe that only strengthens his authority to teach them about the gospel, not diminish it. If Satan were going to cause the ruin of society today, I think it's more ingenious that he would start at the bottom, in the home, where nobody is really looking, rather than to start at the top, where everybody sees. I believe it's clear that Satan is at work in our society today, and he is at work in our homes. He would love to destroy the authority that moms and dads are given by God. When Paul was teaching the Corinthian church, he told them that he didn't want them to be outwitted by Satan and ignorant of his designs. And so this commandment is a reminder to us of the same thing. Our homes are under attack because Satan hates authority. He hates authority and he wants to destroy it. And so for those of you who have children in your homes, you are called to biblical parenting. Biblical parenting. Not just being a friend or a life coach or a provider. You're going to be all of those things at one time or another. But a parent has the God-given authority to enforce rules and correct rebellion for the good of the child. Listen to what Hebrews chapter 12 says. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. I think we've all been a child at one time and we're disciplined and we hated it at the time. It was unpleasant at the time. Nobody likes discipline, but look what it yields. Later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. That's a parent's aim. The aim of any good authority is to bring about a harvest of righteousness from that child. And it is hard work. It is labor in the fields every day. So parents, make this your aim. Not to be lords in the home, but to nor to either be just playmates or pals. But parents who work hard, parents who pray hard for the fruit of righteousness. And children, those of you who are in here, and I know that you probably don't want to be called children, teens, teenagers. This command calls you to work hard and pray hard for a heart that honors and loves your moms and dads, even when they fail, even when they struggle, even when you don't agree with them. Bear with them as they bear with you, and believe me, they are bearing with you. As Paul says when he gives this command to the Ephesians, he says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother that it may go well with you, that you may live long in the land. There is a promise attached to this command, that it may go well with you and you may live long in the land. And I think we've probably all seen plenty of obedient children who did not live long in the land. Not everybody who obeys their parents has a long life, and not everybody who disobeys their parents has a short life. I think this is more of a proverbial promise. that tells children, if you listen to your parents and if you follow their instructions, their wisdom will guide you. If you listen to what they have to say, their wisdom will guide you away from destruction. Their wisdom will guide you toward joy. This is what Solomon told his son in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 3. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace, they will add to you. And so he goes on to teach this. This is Solomon, it seems, preaching about the fifth command to his children. Three verses later, he gives this passage that's so well known to some of you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's what he wants for his kids. Son, trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. Don't trust in your own wisdom, but in all your ways acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. You do this through a parent's instruction. Good, godly parental authority guides children to trust in the Lord and to live for him. Not for themselves, not trusting in themselves, not trusting in their own wisdom, but looking to God to guide them away from influences that would teach them to put their trust somewhere else, to love something more, to get wisdom from the culture and from the world. When children listen to godly wisdom, life will be good, even when your circumstances are bad, even when your circumstances are challenging. And what a blessing are children to parents who walk in these paths of righteousness. What a blessing. Before I move on to some other places that this command reaches, let me give just a few more thoughts on the parent-child relationship. Because there comes a time, doesn't there, when the child no longer lives under the influence of their parents in the same way that they once did. They grow up. They get a little too old for some of the punishments they used to have, some of the old rules that they used to have. And this is always changing, this relationship between a mom and a dad when the kids are, even when they're young, it's always changing constantly. But there comes a time when they don't listen to you the same way that they once did. They don't need as much oversight anymore. In my home, we're just starting to wade into some of these waters, and it's not easy. And I have to imagine that it's been difficult for some of you over the years as you've watched your children grow up and probably seen some of them make some choices that you didn't agree with and you were trying to give them some insight or wisdom and they didn't listen to you and they pushed you back and you had to learn to navigate these new waters. And so I started thinking about myself and my relationship to my own parents and when that started to change because I know that my parents no longer give me commands. They no longer tell me what to do. They now lend their advice, right? They lend their advice. And I've often rejected what they've had to say to forge my own path and sometimes to my own ruin as I've made some of these choices. And I have to imagine that my children are going to forge their own path too someday. And even right now, wanting to forge their own path. And so studying this week, this made me consider, now, what is my relationship as a 40-year-old man? I am a father, but I'm still a son. A son who's losing his hair and he has high cholesterol, but a son nonetheless, still. What's my relationship now with my parents? How do I honor them as a 40-year-old? And if I and they live long enough, how do I honor them when they're elderly? When I'm getting on up there myself, and that's a place that some of you all already occupy, how do you honor your parents when you're both older? What does that look like? I am always, always to honor my parents and treat them with respect and love. And I'm aware that there are a multitude of backgrounds in this room today, and the dynamics that you've had with your moms and with your dads has not always been good. Some of you all would not say that you have a positive or good relationship with your parents in any regard for the word at all. And it's very hard for you to show respect and honor to them. Some of you all have had very loving parents. You know, you've been blessed by that. But I want you to consider today, if your parents are still alive, how is it that you, as adults, are supposed to honor your father and your mother, as this command tells us. As I think about my parents who live 10 hours away even, how can I honor them? And so here are a few of the things that I thought of this week. I should listen to them and make sure they know that what they say is valued. It's valued. And I might not do what they advise me to do, but I should speak to them in a respectful way about it. I should help them when they have needs and I'm able to meet them. I should make opportunities to spend time with them when I can. And for their grandchildren to spend time with them. I think that honors them. And you might think of some other ways that you can honor your parents, but the hope is that you'll be thinking on this. How can I do that? Because we forget about it as we get older. There's still moms and dads who care for their children. And though the dynamics have changed, it does not relieve us from the responsibility of still honoring them in a different way. A lot of you all have had parents to die. And I think that one way that you can still honor them is to continue to show respect to them when you talk about them. It doesn't mean that you'll never mention somebody's flaws or somebody else's failures, but your speech can be seasoned with grace in the descriptions that you tell about them and the stories that you tell about them. You can still show honor to your parents in this way. This week, I went to visit one of our seniors who's recovering at a rehab facility here in town, and she's been there for a little while, and she's hoping to get back home soon. And I asked her if she's getting many visitors while she's here, and she told me with a loving smile that her children have been very attentive. And I was already starting to read through some of this material, and it was just a good opportunity for me to think that right now in this moment, that's how they are honoring their mother. They're not just leaving her up there by herself all the time. She's there, and they're going to be there spending time with her, showing honor to this woman until she gets home. And before I left the place, I walked around the facility where it was packed with elderly people in their rooms and in the common areas, and it made me wonder how many of them have children that come and visit them. How many? And it brought me back to thinking about my own parents. Because one of these days, I may be faced with a decision on how best to care for them. Because this is a biblical responsibility of children, not to avoid caring for their fathers and mothers, but to minister to their needs when they can't do it for themselves, just as they once did for you. And I know that circumstances are going to vary. Ability to care for their specific needs are going to vary, but I can't help wondering if the American desire for comfort has kept many children from inconveniencing themselves to help their aging parents. Instead of asking God for wisdom, they've asked their financial planner for wisdom, or left the state to do what God intended for the child to do. In Bible times, there was no government safety net to catch the elderly, and today, just because there may be a government safety net to catch these elderly people, it does not relieve a child's responsibility to care for their parents and fulfill this command. Listen to what Paul tells Timothy. He says, "Honor widows who are truly widows, but if a widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show godliness to their own household, and to make some return to their parents, for this is pleasing in the sight of God." To honor them in this way, to make some return to them in this way, and care for them as they once cared for you. And so this week, I thought of some of you who have had parents move into your homes, and you have spent years taking care of their needs, doing exactly what Paul is teaching Timothy here, and this is beautiful, beautiful in the sight of God. I thought of Tom and Debbie Smith. Debbie's mom lived in the house with them for, I think, 20 years before she died recently. I thought of the Wagners taking care of Betty's mom. Linda Kutry recently has had her dad move in with her, taking care of him. Honoring their parents in their old age, doing this very thing right here. And I know many of you have done the same thing. Many of you have done the same thing. And I don't know the circumstances. And I don't know the circumstances of many of you others with your aging parents. But I think this is pleasing to God. And it's kind of grabbed my own heart, wondering how it's going to be in the next 20, 30 years for me as I think about my own parents. As many of you all know, one of the joys of getting married is getting in-laws. It's one of the joys. But I believe that this command applies there too. So help your spouse to honor her parents. Don't hinder her from this. Like, we all know that having in-laws is not easy. They're not your parents, after all. I mean, you can just say whatever you want to them, right? Not so fast. When you married, you became part of another family. You inherited her beautiful mess of a mom or dad. Encourage the practice of this command and even help her to fulfill it, whatever that might look like in your circumstances. And I realize that many of you don't have children living in your homes, and some of you all aren't even parents at all. And maybe you're wondering, well, how is it that this command applies to me? What am I supposed to do with this command that says honor your father and your mother? And I said a little while ago that authority has been given for the good of God's people. It's been given for the good of society. And so this command branches out from the parent-child relationship to all sorts of other spheres of influence. Let me give you a few more places where this command reaches to. God gives you governmental authority. We could even say the gift of governmental authority. It's meant to be a blessing to you. Listen to what Paul teaches the Roman church. He says, let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there's no authority from God except from God, and those who that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval. For he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is the servant of God. I mean, this is strong language, isn't it? This is strong language. He is the servant of God. And I want you to keep in mind that when Paul wrote this, Nero would have been emperor. He's the very man that probably is the one who executed Paul. And we have to believe that Paul would have gone to his death honoring the emperor and fulfilling this command. So honor the governmental authorities. You know, presidents come and go, don't they? Mayors come and go, governors, Congress people come and go, but give honor to whom honor is due. That's where that verse winds up. Honor, give honor to whom honor is due. We're to give respect to those whom it is due to. Pray for those who are in authority over you. Model Christ-likeness in the way that you speak about your leaders. And man, don't we live in a world where that is needed. We might very well live in a congregation where that is needed. We're so quick to slander those who are in authority over us. And it does not mean that you have to agree with everything they say. It doesn't mean that you turn a blind eye to their sins. But there is a line, isn't there, that divides honor and dishonor. There's a line there somewhere, isn't there? And there is a way to speak respectfully about somebody that you don't like. You don't like them, but they are God's servant. They are God's servant. Give honor to whom honor is due. God also gives you church authority. Church authority. And obviously, I hesitate to say this one a bit so as not to look self-serving and not to prop up any of your other pastors, your elders, but this is what Scripture teaches. Your church leaders are to be a blessing from God as they give guidance, even when that's in correction. Hebrews chapter 13 says, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account." I and the other elders here will stand before God someday and give an account on how we ministered to the people here and even how we carried out the authority that He's given to us. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. Lastly, God gives you workplace authority. And why don't we just slip it in there too? God gives you the gift of workplace authority. And maybe you're sitting there thinking, you know what? You don't know my boss. You don't know my situation. Lonnie, you have gone too far on this one. You have never met this guy before. Well, God calls you to respect him too. And in the places where I've worked, and I have to imagine the places that you've worked, you know, I've worked in the military, and I've worked in civilian life too, and it seemed that the favorite pastime of employees is to bash their boss. It's like that was the point of lunchtime. Like the whole point of lunchtime was so that everybody can go out and complain with each other. Well, brothers and sisters, don't join in with that. Don't join in with that. And you may not like your boss, but you can still give honor to him or to her. Colossians 3, bondservants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers. He's saying don't be just a brown noser here, to use the common term. Don't just do things for the sake of appearance. Don't obey just because you want to try to get a promotion, but do it from the heart. Sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. And so when you're there at your job and you can't stand this guy, can't imagine how he ever became a boss, your responsibility is to work for the Lord while you're there. You work for him, not just for men. You are serving the Lord Christ. For the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done, and there is no partiality, not with God. So as we come to a close today, we need to be reminded that authority is a gift from God for the good of his people. It's a gift. It's a blessing, not a curse. And it teaches us not just to respect the people that he places over us, but all authority points to him, his authority. We're to learn to obey God, to accept his word, even at times when we don't understand. And that's the exact thing that children are called to, isn't it? They obey their moms and dads. They receive their word even when they don't understand, even when it's hard. So this starts in the home, learning to trust the authority that God has given to us so that we can learn to trust him too. And your authority as parents and the way that you teach your children and the way that they listen to you will teach them to trust in a God who is always good and always does what is right. So please model Christ-likeness as a servant in your home, seeking to do good for your children, not to lord over them. And as they learn to respect that authority, they'll show it to him and his authority. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for your word. We thank you, God, for reminding us, even as adults, that we are to honor our fathers and our mothers. God, help us to consider this week what this might look like in our own individual circumstances, how we can show them the respect that they are due, even when it's a challenge, even when there are hurts. even when they have not been the best model of godly authority. Lord, please lead us in this. And for the children that are in the room, I pray, God, that you would grab their hearts and lead them to show honor to whom honor is due in their homes, in their schools, and learn to show honor to those who have been placed over them in government. Because these are all servants given to them for their good by you. We thank you, God, for this time together. We pray, Lord, your blessing on the food that we will eat in just a moment. We thank you for this church and all the servants that you have placed here. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.